Thank you, Pastor Dan. Appreciate that. I want to just get right into the word this morning. Right into kind of the purpose. We've been talking about the presence of the Lord. I've said as a nation, I think we've wandered away from God. And as you wander away from God, you wander away from truth. And as you wander away from truth, you're more susceptible to believe lies that are out there all over the place. And our thinking gets muddled. I think that's one of the things the enemy loves to do. He loves to mess up with our minds. That's why this thing is supposed to wash our minds. But he wants to mess things up. He wants us to think differently. And then we go down a wrong thinking pattern or a path, and all of a sudden we get far, far away. And I think as a nation that we've done that. We've been talking about all sorts of different aspects. A few weeks ago, I talked about the pursuit of God's presence. Aaron talked about, last week, a very powerful message, talked about the precedent for God's presence. The idea of when we're in that valley of despair or valley of decision, if you will, that we need to be moving towards the things of God and not going back to something that we can hold on to. We need to enjoy the power and the presence of Him and have faith and hope and enter into His rest. Today I want to talk about the passion for God's presence. The passion for God's presence. And I want to start, really all this came from a dream. A dream I had a couple of days ago. It was about 3:10 a.m. on November 13th. I had this dream, and I'll explain the dream. And you know how dreams are. They don't seem to make a lot of sense. You know, you kind of, why is that thing in there and all of that? But I had this dream, and I was in a building or a school building, and we were working with youth, and I was with another youth leader there, and we were talking about things. We're talking about the state of affairs, all the things that were happening, and we got onto kind of a spiritual topic, and all of a sudden, in this arena, I became so overly whelmed, if you will, emotionally. So emotionally, I just, in this dream, I'm breathing in and out. And I'm literally breathing hard in and out and in and out. And then I start realizing I'm having this overwhelming emotion that I'm feeling. This overwhelming emotion that was, it's very hard to describe. It's just overwhelmingly overwhelming, okay? And I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and then all of a sudden I have this revelation that this is the presence of the Lord. I'm having this concept of the presence of the Lord is here. I'm feeling, if you will, His presence, kind of unguarded, if you will, just completely just laid out there, and it was literally overwhelming to me. It was very overwhelming, and I was just breathing like that, just taken by this emotion. Then all of a sudden that just kind of ended, and I was just breathing deeply, and then all of a sudden I feel like it goes from this dream to where I feel like I'm in the bedroom, and I'm looking straight up at the ceiling. And I don't know if I'm awake or asleep. I don't know what it was, but I'm looking up, and I'm trying to focus on something. I still have the strong emotion. And as I look up into the ceiling right there, I see what I describe as an angel. There's an angel there, and it's kind of flitting around a little bit right there. And all of a sudden now I start breathing a lot more heavily again. And I'm breathing very deeply, and in the process of breathing deeply, I'm kind of almost moaning, like this. And as I'm going through all of this emotion, I get overwhelmed here, if you will, with again feeling the presence of the Lord here. And I'm in my mind, I shout out these words, Lord, don't scare me. Lord, don't scare me. And I'm looking up at this angel, and then all of a sudden I just, His presence is, it just, it was so overwhelming, and I'm just breathing, and I'm looking, and now I'm looking at this angel, and I want to look away because I'm kind of scared, But at the same point, I want to look and find out what is this? But I'm going through this dichotomy of in my flesh. I'm just so scared, but my spirit kind of wants to take a look, and I'm just breathing in and out and in and out and in and out and moaning. And all of a sudden, I don't know if my wife heard me or hit me or something. I wake up and she goes, "Are you okay?" I mean, cause she could hear me. I was just, this is happening. And I'm going, "Oh my gosh." And she goes, "Are you okay? What happened?" I go, I think I just saw an angel. And she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry I woke you up." And I go, "No, I think I'm glad you did, because I didn't know what to think here. I was just so taken by the presence of the living God. I think there's something. If God shows up, it's not just a high five, it's a response. During this time, I felt so vulnerable. I felt so bare. I felt so, oh my gosh, I'm looking at God. I'm looking at this angel, and I want to look further into it. But in my own heart, I'm going, I am undone. I am a sinner, man. I am a sinful man. I don't know that I can stand here, but we do know by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can. But I'm still being honest with who I am and looking at the presence of the Lord. And I just have this overwhelming emotion. So I got up and I went into the living room and I just asked, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to me? And he gave me three words: passion, passion, passion. Do you have a passion for me? Do you have an overwhelming passion for me and my presence? Are you overwhelmed with that type of emotion and engaging God? And it really kind of caused me to think, well, what? So I just started writing this message. So I went for about an hour and a half. I think from about 3:30 to 5:00. I'm writing this message. And so this is kind of. It's kind of an outtake of what I felt like the Lord was saying to me. And I know that this is, I'm not just pulling out a biblical, all right, we'll go through some scriptures here, but I'm just trying to figure this all out, because I feel like God is trying to communicate to me, at least, somehow in a way that I can understand. So I started to write this. The presence of God is a promise. I think about back to Aaron's message. It was a promise that was given in Joel chapter 2. It was initiated and started in Acts chapter 2 in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I think the outworking of what God wants to do in Joel that became an outworking in Acts chapter 2, I think is a continual outworking that he wants to see happening today. It's not just a past experience. It's a present day experience for us. And it's to be a present day experience for those who are still moving forward and wanting more of an experience with God. Those that aren't saved, those that need the power of God. It's an ongoing thing, and it's a tool that we need to understand that God wants alive in our lives today. So I'm going to go back to Joel chapter 2. Verses 28 through 32. And again, Aaron did an amazing job of opening this up and making relevant to us today. It says this: "And it shall come to pass," and again, this is Joel 2 and also Acts 2. And I'm going to intersperse, they're almost verbatim everything that's said, but I'm going to pull out some Hebrew words, and I'm going to pull out some Greek words, depending on what side of the passage I'm going to use between Joel 2 and Acts 2 in this particular powerful portion of scripture that I think is talking about his presence. Pouring out of his spirit is talking about the presence of the living God coming upon us in a demonstrative way. "And it shall come to pass afterward," or in Acts 2 it says, "in the last days," and therefore we must be in the last days because it started to be poured out, right? The last days. However, those last days have lasted 737,000 days since when this was probably written. 737,000 days, and these are the last days, "that I will pour out my spirit." The word "pour out," I love this word "pour out." We're thinking about what God is pouring out. He's very thorough when he starts to pour something out. He's not very stingy. He's over and above. The word pour out here in the Hebrew means to spill forth. It means to mound up. It means to gather a lot, to expend. It means to sprawl out. If you go to the New Testament word, it's translated to gush, to pour out, to run greedily out. Think about that. God wants to run greedily out of himself and pour into you in a greedy way. He wants to get rid of, not really get rid of, but pour into you, deposit into you his spirit in a greedy way. The very presence and power and essence of God, he wants to pour into you in a greedy way. He lavishly pours it out. He drenches you. I think we had something here about being drenched here in the spirit.
Okay, here we go. Let's go.
They just won the Super Bowl.
Easy. Where's he at? Heads up.
Hey, get up.
Hold on, easy.
Heads up. Kids, he's done a brilliant job. The Seahawks are world champs.
Now, I want you to notice a couple things here. Did you see Russell Wilson? And I forgot who the other guy was. I didn't look at him. Did you see who it was? Anyway, but Russell Wilson. Did you hear what he said? Look out. Hey, here we go. I mean, that is the Holy Spirit. And he's coming for you. Hey, look out. Hey, watch it. Scoot back. Hey, scoot back. I mean, he just, whoa. And you know, I'm sure when that first hit him, when that water first hits him, he goes, whoa. An overwhelming emotion takes place. That's what the Holy Spirit is intending to do in our lives. And I think at some point we just become, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit. He's still wanting to gush out on you greedily. Greedily. He wants to pour out upon you. I'll tell you, the emotion that he felt when that spirit, that water hit him was, oh, God, bring us back to, whoa, God, God's alive in me. God's moving in me. God's given me words of knowledge. God gave me something to say to a person. God gave me a prayer I'm supposed to pray. I'm an intercessor. God is moving. God gave me a prophetic word. God. It becomes the thing that becomes everything. The center of it all. He pouring out. He promised it in Joel. He fulfilled it in Acts. But he is still greedily pouring out his spirit upon you today. Overwhelming. Oh God. Move. Move, Holy Spirit. The word spirit means wind or breath. It's the very essence of God. It's God himself poured out into us this earthen vessel. It doesn't make sense, but God wanted it. He wanted to be with us. God wanted to dwell with us. It's a scripture that talks about we're the temple. Do you have that picture? All I could think about is our dog, Josie. Our dog, Josie, wants to dwell with us. That dog jumps in our lap. Whenever we sit down, he's in my lap. I write messages with the dog in my lap and the computer here in my chest because I always like to sprawl out a little bit when I'm writing. I think better that way. And the dog is in my lap. If it's not in my lap, then he's in Carrie's lap. If he's not in Carrie's lap, then he's wanting to bite. He's wanting to play. He's wanting to have fun. And at night, literally, I can't, I know you're going to look at me and go, I can't believe you did this. But yes, at night, that dog is so small. I put my arm out like this and the dog, he sleeps right there. That's where the dog starts. Because honestly, he loves Carrie a lot more than he loves me. So, So and sometimes I usually go to bed first, so he starts right there, but then he sneaks over after I'm asleep. Is he asleep? And then he goes over to Carrie. He knows where it's really at. But then he doesn't stop there, because then the dog loves to burrow. He goes under the sheets, goes under the covers, and goes down to the like bottom of the bed there somewhere. And we have a water bed still, okay? We're ancient, okay? We still have a water bed, and I think he's gonna die of heat exhaustion down there, but all of a sudden he comes back up at the end of the night. I know she's a she, but I always call her he. I know that. Actually, she's neither now, but so I just, that dog has to be with us. When I get up in the morning, I got to take her out, and then she wants to walk around with me, and we go outside and blah, blah. I'm just saying the dog has an insatiable desire to just be in our presence. That's God's insatiable desire with you. Is it yours for him? Is it your desire for him? He goes on to say here, pour out his spirit, out my spirit on all flesh. That word flesh means body or person or people. And what's the result of this gushing out of this drenching of the spirit of the living God? He says, when this happens, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Prophesy means to speak under inspiration. You see, my essence dripping off of them will cause them to be consumed with me and want to communicate my words to a world that desperately needs to hear what I have to say in this hour and in this day. Consumed with the living God. You see, the Spirit on you will cause you to talk a lot about God. When the Spirit is on you, you can't help but talk about God. I just want to talk about Him. I just want to talk. Hey, you just see what I read in the Word today? Look what He said. I got a promise, and He said this, and in my quiet time, He spoke to me this, and all of a sudden, we're just obsessed with talking about God. When the Holy Spirit is moving, we're obsessed with talking about God. Oh God, help us in this nation to be obsessed with talking about You. We talk about every other thing. Help us to be obsessed with talking about You. You, Jesus, at the center of it all. It says here, your old man shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. Young men see visions, old men dream dreams. I know I dreamed a dream, but I think I also had a vision at the very end. So I can be considered a young old man, or better yet, an old young man. I just want young in there somewhere. I don't care. Just put young in there. These visions and dreams will be from God to communicate to us, to talk to us in a way that we can understand, and Him, for us to know He's there. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, those word men servants, maid servants is the feminine masculine of doulos, a slave. In this case, I think a voluntary slave, a servant of the living God. Christians that are so enamored by God that they just want to serve Him and voluntarily lay down their lives in service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because God, we just want to sit in Your lap. I want to be a lap person instead of a lap dog. And then he says, I will pour out, gush out greedily my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders. The word wonders here means something conspicuous. It stands out. It could be a miracle even. I'll show you something conspicuous in the heavens and in the earth. We have unprecedented storms and hurricanes this year. 2020, it said, Atlantic hurricane season breaks all-time record. 12 named storms, and now I think 13 and 6, and I think maybe 7 hurricanes have 6 have only made landfall this year. And there has been a total of 30 storms. They've exhausted the English alphabet. You know, it goes A, B, C, some name of A, some name of B, going through the alphabet, giving to these storms other than a few letters. Some letters are hard to put a name to. But so they've gone through all of the alphabet, alphabet in English, and now they're going through the Greek alphabet. And we are 9 letters into the Greek alphabet. Iota is the next hurricane or storm that's right out there right now. And we have a month and a half yet to go in this year. This is crazy. I'll show wonders. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Fires in California and in the West are pillars of smoke that are just devastating. The sun will be turned into darkness. They can't see because of the fires. It just becomes dark in the middle of the day. And the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. His return, folks, is getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. And it shall come to pass, the result of all of this happening, the result of all of these wonders and things and difficulties and all of the things I think that we're facing in our world today. And it shall come to pass, the result of all of this happening, that whosoever, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Saved, delivered, protected, safe. Christianity is the only religion where you just have to ask God to save you, and He will. You don't have to do something. You don't have to perform a heroic act. You don't have to do something daring. You just simply have to be so needy. You say, Jesus, save me. And He does. You call out to His name. You call out to Him. I think in the midst of all of the problems, or maybe because of all of the problems that people are facing, we'll be motivated to call out to God for salvation, for help, and not to man. God has the answer. Now let me go back for just a moment here. I want to go back to this. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, because I was really taken by this, especially that night. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just on some, but on all flesh. We found out that in Cornelius' time, it wasn't just the Jewish, but the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 2, we found out that all flesh meant, not just Jewish people, but Gentile people also. He'll pour out His Spirit. Not just the Jews can get saved, but us Gentiles can get saved as well. How awesome is that? It's not a closed party. There's only 10 people that can be involved. No, the whole world can be involved in this one. We're not under quarantine. What if the presence of God started falling on us Christians so drastically, and the moving of the Spirit and hearing God's voice, empowered by His presence so much that we live this overwhelming life each and every day, 24/7, going to the store going, whew, I need to share with the teller. Or go to the bank or going to school. Can you imagine the overwhelming presence becoming a 24/7 lifestyle? But it said all flesh here. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now, bear with me on this, because I'm just thinking this through. But what about just, not just Christians, but what if God's Spirit fell on non-Christians? Think about that for a moment. He said, I will fall on all flesh. He didn't say save flesh. He said all flesh. Because honestly, when it fell on you at the first time, you probably weren't saved. But what about not just Christians, but non-Christians as well? I don't know. I'm just asking the question, okay? I'm just postulating a question. What if non-Christians started experiencing the overwhelming emotion of God's presence and as a result started calling on the name of the Lord? That's what He said will happen when the Spirit comes upon you. You'll call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. You know, we watch one of those Chicago things, the fire one, where they're in a fire, and all of a sudden the fire department, when they go in this fire department, it goes, fire department, call out! Fire department, call out! We got a burning building. We got people we don't know where they are. And the fire department saying, fire department, call out! Call out! I'm here to save you! But I just need you to call out! I'll grab you! I'll save you from this peril you're in right now. I just need you, though, to call out. The Holy Spirit, I think, is doing the same thing. All sorts of things are burning around us right now. And the Holy Spirit, I think, is talking to a world that doesn't know I'm saying, Holy Spirit, call out. Holy Spirit, call out. I'll save you. I'll save you. You just need to call out. But most of those people that called out for the fire department didn't when everything was fine. It's only when their building started burning, did they begin to cry out to be saved. God, what are you doing right now? I'm just wanting people to cry out to be saved. Wow. I'm just lighting their securities on fire so that they'll cry out to be saved. Maybe even our own lives, some of the things he's burning away and worries and issues that he's trying to say, I just want to get him to call upon me. To call upon me. Maybe not for salvation because you're already saved, but to call upon me for help, for protection, for the way. Holy Spirit, call out, Jesus, save me. Isn't that what happened to you? It happened to me. Life got so bad. All of a sudden, I wanted Jesus, and I wanted Jesus bad. And therefore, I called out. And when I called out, bam, he grabbed hold of me. Lord, everything's on fire around me. I'm not getting this in my life. And, you know, my parents just divorced. My sister just ran away from home. All sorts of things have happened. My dad's an alcoholic. And I mean, just the things of life just going on. And call out. Call out. The presence of God touched me and caused me to want him and to want him bad. And even to this day, even this morning, when I was up at the water tower, I was saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me. He loves it when we call out. He loves it when we lean on him. He loves it when we look for him for protection, for deliverance, for a way out, for help, for sozo deliverance, this salvation. He just loves it when we sit in his lap. In John 6, 43 and 45, it says this. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's my scripture for this aspect of, unless the Holy Spirit starts to draw you, you don't have any aspirations to want to come to God. You know, wake up one day and go, you know, a great decision would be made for my eternal security so that I might go to heaven, because I'm thinking heaven right now. I should ask Jesus into my life so I can assure myself a spot up there for later. Yes, I'm going to do that. Nobody came up and did that. Somebody went, I'm on fire! I'm on, help me! Somebody save me. The Father puts it on his heart, on your heart. Hey, 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 hey. Come here. I'm putting some things on your heart. I'm causing some circumstances to happen. I'm causing you to wonder. I put a person over here who shared something over there. And I remember that you saw something when you were a kid over here and you read this scripture. And, hey, 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 come here. Keep coming. Keep stepping. I'm the answer. Call out to me. The Holy Spirit call out. You see, God does that on us. He did it when we first got saved, and He's still drawing you today. He's still drawing you. And I love the word draw, because the word draw means to handle in a delicate and wonderful and compelling way that you will enjoy. No, I just made that up. That's not what the word draw. That's what we want it to be. Ah. Oh. That's not what the word draw means. The word, unless the Father who sent me draws him. You know what the word draw means? I wish I would have put it up here. The Greek word draw means to drag. Yes. Yeah, amen. To drag! There's another definition, another concordance says this: to pull or drag, requiring force because of the inertia of the object being dragged. Okay? It's like, I'm running after the world. And he grabs us by the back of the neck and he starts dragging. No, no! He has to overcome the inertia you have to sell yourself out for the world. He's got you by the back of the neck and he's dragging you to the kingdom of God. Until finally you go, what? Oh, yeah, I need help. Thank you for dragging me. And sometimes he's not kind. He'll drag you through water. He'll drag you through anything. You don't care. He'll drag you through the sticker bushes. It don't matter. He'll drag you through a lot of stuff. He just wants you saved. He just wants you saved. He wants you spending the rest of your life with him. I had to overlook this word. Draws, it sounds so wonderful. And it's like drag. You see, bad people come to Jesus because the Father, via the Holy Spirit, drags them. I was one of those bad people that God drug. Even coming into the position of the ministry, literally he drug me through that too. You think once he drugs you, the first time you're going, hey, all right, learn my lesson. And then he drags you again. What are you doing? What are you doing? Come over here. I don't want to be. All right. I'll do it. Here's a question. Think about it. Think about falling upon all flesh, good and bad. Do you pray for your number one adversary to be overwhelmed by God's presence? The person you dislike, the person you have issue with, the person who, we just don't get along. Do you pray that the Spirit of the living God would just fall on them? Do you pray that the Spirit would fall on all on that flesh? To save them, not to kill them? I don't know that was something you could do or should do. I thought, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I was just leaving it to him to avenge him. And I go, well, wouldn't it be better if they saved him rather than avenged him? Yeah. I don't know. Either way, God's more persuasive than we are. And if we can release the Holy Spirit upon a world that doesn't know him and pray for people that don't know him and pray that the Holy Spirit would fall on them, fall on them, fall on them, fall on them, fall on them. What could God do? What could God do? If we want people to get it biblically, because they don't quite got it in this world. If we wanted to get it morally, or wanting to get it spiritually, it would be great to have God's help. And he's the one who can move on hard hearts better than we can. The one who can change man's thinking. I think in our nation today, every issue is heated today. Every issue, you could say anything. I like water. Whoa, yeah. My gosh. What about lemonade? I never seen it so. No matter. Hey, I would. It's so heated. But what if God's presence showed up and his spirit fell on all flesh? What if he started melting hard hearts and drawing people? You see, I believe this, and I believe it very strongly. The only way our nation is going to be healed is through repentance and forgiveness. They're two of the main tools God uses all throughout history, all throughout your life. You know why you're going to heaven? Because you repented and you received forgiveness. That's why. Do you know how relationships get restored? You and your wife, you and your husband, you and your roommate, because somebody asked somebody else for forgiveness and are repented, and then they asked for forgiveness and forgiveness was granted. Do you know why God says, hey, I'll tell you what, you're in danger of losing your own salvation if you won't forgive somebody their sin. It's a very big deal to him, this forgiveness thing, this repentance and forgiveness thing. It's his number one MO in counseling to restore anybody together. Repentance, forgiveness has to happen or there will always be a wall. The only thing that's really going to heal our nation is repentance and forgiveness. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that truly changes the spiritual climate. If we want the spiritual climate in our nation to change, it's going to come that way. And that means unsaved people are going to have to, what? They can't, oh, Holy Spirit, fall on them. Holy Spirit, fall on them. Fall on them. Think of the people you don't like. Lord, fall on them. Fall on them. Not to collapse them and crush them and kill them. Fall on them to change their heart. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That person is probably a good person in their son. Well, no, he's a bad person. He's a sinner. But there's but redeemed all of a sudden, something awesome comes out of them. We don't need rhetoric. We need repentance and forgiveness in America. I want God to show up in church. I want God to show up in church. But what if the Holy Spirit also showed up in Walmart? What if all of a sudden Walmart had a revival? Woo, what happened? I don't know. People are getting whooshed and woo, and just, whoa, something's happening at Walmart today on aisle 7. It's a blue light special. What if the Holy Spirit showed up at Walmart or at the bank or in the classroom at school? What if God just started randomly showing up in places and started melting the hard hearts of worldly people? What if he did that? What if the Holy Spirit showed up in a demonstrative way at the White House or at the Senate or at the House of Representatives? What if the Holy Spirit showed up in a demonstrative way at the next riot or protest, or in our cities, or in our police departments, or in the abortion clinics? What if the Holy Spirit showed up in a demonstrative way in Hollywood, or Silicon Valley, or CNN, or MSNBC, or Fox, or ABC, or NBC, or CBS, or the headquarters of Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon? What if? Well, he can't do that. Some of those people aren't saved. He fell on you. He drug you. When you weren't saved. We're just, oh no, if they just understand it. No, no, no. They need an encounter with the living God that they're not even looking for right now to fall upon them. We need God. What would happen if God, through the Holy Spirit, was really poured out on all flesh? His overwhelming presence. What would happen to the hate? What would happen to the anger? What would happen to the violence? What would happen to the prejudice? What would happen to the injustice? What would happen to the lies? What if? What if? Are we praying for them? For the Holy Spirit to fall? To melt their hard heart? To call out to God, the one who can save them. What if we leave the issues of the spiritual health of America to politicians? Will they solve this? But God can't. call out on the behalf of somebody else? What if a passion for God hit America? What if a passion for God hit America? Are we praying for it? Let me close. Father, I thank you that you're an amazing God. I thank you for speaking to me. You give me dreams here and there. I know I'm getting old. But God, we want you. We call out, Jesus, save us. Save us as a nation. Jesus, we need you. God, change the heart of sinful people, us included, that we would call out to the living God for an encounter with you. That you would begin to mold and shape our hearts to think more and more like you. That we would walk and act like you would walk and act if you were here today. That our nation's spiritual climate would rise. That our love for Jesus Christ would be contagious, more so than COVID-19. Oh God, oh God, oh God. We pray for those that don't know you, Lord, that they'd have a passion for your presence, that the Holy Spirit would fall on them. But they wouldn't even know what was going on. I feel drawn. I feel dragged. I feel compelled. And then God, help us as Christians to be a part of all of this. Number one, to be praying for them. To be praying, Lord, that your spirit would fall on all flesh like you promised. We're not asking you to do something you didn't say you wanted to do already. You're just looking for people who would believe it and ask you for it. So we're asking, Lord, fall on all flesh. Fall on all flesh. Every single one. Whether the hardened atheist. Fall on him, Lord. You fell. You fell on Saul, Lord. And you made him a Paul. Fall upon this world, Lord. Fall upon us, Holy Spirit. We need you now more than ever. We love you. We bless you, Lord. And we thank you for being so, so very good to us. And it's in that powerful and precious and wonderful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Please start praying for people. Start praying. Your best weapon you have against anybody is to pray that the Holy Spirit would fall on them, because he changes hearts. He is the answer for America. God bless you all.